morning, motherfuckers. It's the 3rd of February, 2021, Era Vulgaris. This is Mondo Homunculero, deep in the studio. Thanateros Productions Studio, Casa de Mondo Zaskia. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, you motherfuckers. That's right. This is Phoenix, motherfucking Arizona, where life itself is a very thin thread. That's right. People just don't know how weak this thread of life is. You can hear Randy Blythe in the background. The revolution regenerates in honor of the slaves of those who died in generations before, for your bloodstained glory I reject you, I deny you, I defy you to continue. Folks, that's it. That was Vigil by Lamb of God. That's one of my theme songs. It tears me all up and shit. It makes me feel really good about myself. And I like this song in particular today. Of course, I like it every day, every hour of every day. I don't play it that much, not at all. Today, they're honoring the death and the life of the Capitol policeman who was killed as a result of the insurrection at the Capitol. So this song I dedicate to him. I forgot his name. He's actually a hero, a real hero. Anyway, so that song is dedicated to him. What we have going on in the country is very enlightening. There's a guy named Josh Fox. He has a website called joshfilms.com. So I'm going to plug him. He was on a podcast, well, a video log that I listened to this morning with Giuliano Forlano, talking about climate change and what has been done. And, you know, the pipeline getting turned off up there in the Dakotas, which is a great thing. I hail my Native American brothers and sisters who were very active, and also all of my white folk friends and black folk friends, all my brothers and sisters, regardless of class. And that's right, we don't talk about race so much here on this podcast because it is about class, really, socioeconomic class. When, you know, the racism that is endemic and systemic in our society does actually come from the class struggle, in my opinion. So there's your daily dose of Marx. Oh, the dreaded Marx. A few topics this morning. I'm not upset about anything. I'm taking a few days off from work. A friend has come in from out of town. Hopefully I get to see her. Always wanted to meet her in person. I think it'll be a great experience. Rachel, here's to you. love and hugs and everything good and positive, regardless of whether we meet up or not. Also, just a couple of topics. Yesterday on the other podcast, which I'm going to plug here, it's called Two Stone Dudes, and that's with Rob the Nod and Mr. Ryan Castellucci. And also yesterday, we had our other commentator, Kevin. It was a good podcast yesterday, about 39 minutes long. It'll be on soon. I hope you guys enjoy. And please, you know, go to anchor.com and look up Two Stone Dudes and get after it. And listen to me on Anchor and Spotify and everything else. We're getting some airplay. Not really here to get airplay or garner sponsors or anything of that nature, but I will plug Anchor. It's a good free app. You can interface with a wide variety of other applications. I'm using Rodecaster Pro, which I dearly love and have learned so little about. But every day I learn something else. And currently what I do is I record on a micro SD card and then I upload the podcast to Anchor. So you folks out there who are listening, love, kindness, respect coming your way. I could talk about all those different topics, love and kindness and respect. What I want to point out, though, to everybody is love. I believe that love is purely subjective, meaning that if we have a capacity to love, and I think there's many different capacities, I kind of always like Eric Fromm's book, The Art of Loving. I was a big fan of that. And in there, he named several different love topics. He named brotherly love and, love of self. And he named romantic love, sexual love. I like those. Those are great little classifications. And what I always like to point out that love is a totally, totally subjective thing. It's completely subjective. I believe that we decide if whatever capacity for loving we have, and everybody has, I believe, their own unique capacities for it. Some not much because of the way they were brought up. Others quite a bit because they were brought up well and had a loving, supportive environment throughout their young life and maybe into adulthood. And then there's others of us who are not able to do much of it at all. So what I want to say about all that is I don't subscribe to unconditional love. I think that it's an erroneous concept, and I'll tell you why. Human beings are not perfect, and the concept of unconditional love is based on deity, I believe, from what I've seen. And in my experience and in my observations and education, there is no deity. Maybe it's the deity inside. I just think that we have to toss out unconditional love. I do believe people have moments which come very close to it, and maybe that's the human version of, quote, unconditional love, unquote. However, on a universal level, as an ideal, I don't think that it exists. So there you go. However, the more we learn to love ourselves, and a lot of times that comes from other people loving us and showing us what that means, we can love others in return as a reflection of ourselves. We call it self-love projected outwards in one of the traditions that I come from. In that respect, let's keep love where it is. So the more we have a capacity to love on the different levels that we can love, let's go for it. Myself, I'm a romantic love guy to a certain extent and a sexual love guy to a great extent. I love sex. I love having sex with women partners. The last few years, that hasn't happened, and I'm really okay with it at this point in my life. And those of you who enjoy that, I hope that you continue to do so. And, if it happens for me again sometime, that would be great. If it doesn't, I'm okay. I love myself, and I'm able to give myself kudos for my actions. And here's another, there's this big debate that goes on in a lot of the circles of friends that I'm involved with. And that debate centers around self. I don't think we actually have a self. I think the self is an illusion, along with the ego. I don't believe in it. And I don't believe in being. I don't think that we be. I think we do. I think from the time that we're conceived, actually the act of sex and conception are doings. They're doings. They're actions. And the action results in the action of a conception and a term to pregnancy and birth. And in other organisms, unicellular, they divide. And in that sense, they have a type of almost immortality, certainly a more eternal type of living than we do. In this respect, I have to say that we're imperfect when it comes to ideal standards. And applying ideal standards to humans, I believe, is a ridiculous practice. I think we need to kind of quell that one down. Now, we can set standards that we aspire to. We can make intentions to realize a standard like unconditional love. You know, we can strive to achieve it, even though we may never. And just the act of attempting to achieve it results in a lot of love. So in that respect, we need to smile about this. It brought a smile to my face. I hope it does yours. And I hope you're getting the love that you want. Enough of that. Now, on to some weird conspiracy-type topics. One in particular has been talk about aliens. And I don't believe that the thing about aliens is a conspiracy theory. There's no conspiracy there. What I think is, yeah, aliens probably do exist, probably intelligent life form aliens and probably other life form aliens, which are not. I also think that unless they have some type of warp travel, some type of travel which goes beyond spacecraft traveling at the speed of light, that unless they have this, that they're not really here. Now, and if they can slip through the time-space, well, time probably really doesn't exist. It's a human situation. I mean, you can look up the latest in quantum physics and, you know, time relativity and all those types of topics and see that time is really a human invention or convention, as it seems. It's used to measure. Just like most of our scientific measurements, they're all created by humans, and maybe there is some actual useful fallacies involved there. Thanks, Don Hoffman. Some useful fallacies that help us go from point A to point B to survive and reproduce. I'm just really not sure that aliens have come here unless they've been able to go through these warps, to go through these tunnels, okay? So there may be tunnels in the space-time foam that they're able to slip through, you know, quantum on a quantum level. If that's the case, then we probably have been visited. My contention here is why, if they are that advanced technologically, scientifically, and even philosophically, why would they bother with us other than to save us from ourselves? And if that was the case, it's not working. And if they did want to commandeer our planet, that isn't working. And other than maybe just observing us, which they might be doing, I'm not going to dispute that. There might be otherworldly life forms observing us for whatever reason, even coming here and taking energy, you know, extracting certain valuable resources that we may have that they can use. I don't think they're really that interested in us. However, in the Scientific American, there's this article about this scientist who is an astrophysicist. His name is Avi Loeb. And he's a Harvard University astrophysicist. He's produced pioneering research and provocative research on black holes, gamma ray bursts, the early universe, and other standard topics of the field. This is coming direct from the article. But for more than a decade, he's also courted a more contentious subject, namely space aliens, including how to find them. And until relatively recently, Loeb's most high-profile work in that regard, was his involvement with the breakthrough Starshot, a project funded by Silicon Valley billionaire Yuri Milner to send laser-boosted, gossamer-thin, mirror-like spacecraft called Lightsails on high-speed voyages to nearby stars. All that began to change in late 2017, however, when astronomers around the world scrambled to study an enigmatic interstellar visitor, the first ever seen that briefly came within range of telescopes. The object's discoverers dubbed it Oumuamua, a Hawaiian term that roughly translates to scout. Okay, so Loeb might be onto something here. However, I've got to pull this one out of my ass and say, okay, how did they get here? Because they couldn't do it by traveling faster than the speed of light. You know, all that warp drive stuff, that jumping stuff, you know, is really cool in Star Wars and Star Trek. It's really cool. However, technology really isn't there. And really, unless there is some type of warp drive that can be discovered and industrialized and manufactured, don't think that's going to happen for us. Now, it may have happened for other species. There may be other human species throughout the galaxies. We don't know that. And they may have existed for billions of years. We just don't know. It mostly everything nowadays on this is speculation, and we don't know. Anyway, Loeb, he says the most plausible explanation for this interstellar visitor was as obvious as it was sensational, taken together with its possibly pancake shape and high reflectivity. Oumuamua's anomalous acceleration made perfect sense if the object was in fact a light sail, perhaps a derelict from some long-expired galactic culture. Well, I could buy that. But even if it was traveling at 3/4 the speed of light, how many light years would it take to get here from wherever? Unless there's something fairly close, which Alpha Centauri is the closest star. Primed by years spent pondering how we might someday find evidence of cosmic civilizations in the sky's depths, Loeb became increasingly convinced that with Oumuamua, the evidence had instead found us. In late 2018, Loeb and his co-author Shmuel Bialy, a Harvard postdoctoral fellow, published a paper in the Astrophysical Journal Letters arguing that Oumuamua had been nothing less than humanity's first contact with the artifact of an extraterrestrial intelligence. So the paper's been a smash hit with journalists, but has fallen flat with most of Loeb's astrobiology-focused peers who insist that, while strange, Oumuamua's properties still place it well within the realm of natural phenomena. Okay, so this guy's off on it. He's going on it. Now, I'm going to turn to another pet of mine, which is a gentleman that I saw years ago at a Tibetan Buddhist Dharma. A gentleman named Adam Trombley. Now, I like Adam Trombley, you know, because I was into this zero, this free energy stuff, you know, the zero point energy. And, you know, he claims that he has reverse engineered the technology and that it works. And there's numerous debunkers of it, a lot of them funded by fossil fuel industry or nuclear power industry. So he and his friend David Farnsworth founded something called Project Earth, and they physically demonstrated a small solid-state electrical transformer that measurably showed an efficiency of 54-1, and then they walked down the street to the UN to give an address. Okay, so here's the situation. Now, Trombley claimed that his father was part of an early government inquest or inquiry into aliens, and that the technology that is being reverse engineered has been with the black suit guys, the men in black, for a long time. And that's why every time he supposedly invents something, the men in black come and take it away. And he had a facility here in Scottsdale, Arizona, at the Scottsdale Air Park, where he had developed all these types of inventions and plans, and the men in black came and took everything. And so he was at zero again. So the big deal is, here's an interesting thing that he said about aliens, getting back to aliens. In 2018, he said, "We are the aliens, but we think there's somebody else. But we're the ones who came from somewhere else because somebody else had to survive, and they got in a little spacecraft, and they came here, and they landed, and they started a civilization here. That's what I believe." Okay. All right. Okay. There's a lot of that stuff out there, right? Yeah, you know, you've heard about a lot of that stuff. So now I'm going to switch to Marjorie Taylor Greene, and what I think we need to do with her is send her to Antarctica so she can investigate this stuff and just leave her there. Let's do that with her. We don't have to kill her, but I think we should just send her to Antarctica. Now, a lot of this stuff has been debunked, but when it comes to debunking, what we all want to do is we want to fact check all these types of claims, and we want to look at this deeply before we jump on this. Now, Trombley gets into the New Age concept of this. He says there's no free energy without enlightenment and liberation. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Oh, there we go. Anyway, I like Adam Trombley, and I think he, if he was really on to something, I think we'd have it by now, because we need quantum generators. Yeah, we need a zero-point energy generation. We need it if it truly exists. Okay, and so, you know, here's another thing. Zero-point energy technology devices that Adam Trombley built are working today in other parts of the world, and yet instead of using ZPE, Adam's own house in Maui is being fitted with a bank of expensive solar panels. He told us that, and he said the reason why is because the men in black will come and get his devices if he creates them and uses them. Anyway, I like Adam Trombley, and I hope that you want to look into him. I saw one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life at that particular little meeting that there was. Wow, she was such a gorgeous woman. Anyway, enough of that. I spent a lot of my time appreciating the beauty of women. I love women. Now, going back to the news, let's get to the news now and take a peek at the news and see what's going on in the news besides the death of the one guy, which is awful. Okay, so there's an article on sure signs you've already had COVID. Okay, Steve Bannon might get prosecuted by the Manhattan DA. Yay! Why? Because he might have got pardoned by Trump on the federal level, but that does not apply to the Manhattan district attorney and his jurisdiction. He's weighing whether to bring a state court case against Stephen Bannon, who is indicted on federal fraud for his role in a fundraising scheme to build a border wall, but received a last-minute pardon from Trump, according to people familiar with the matter. Now, we know who Bannon is. I don't want to go there. Breitbart, blah, blah, blah. He's got a podcast where he spews ridiculous bullshit. And best thing for happened to him would be if his fingers would not be able to type, and then his voice would go away. We don't need this guy spewing shit unless we can constantly debunk and truth out these guys like him. Because people believe this shit. Why? They want to believe this shit. They want to believe it's real. It's not real. You know, it just, Every once in a while, a conspiracy theory does contain elements of fact, and those can be gleaned from them and made useful. And that's why I believe that they need to have, the ability to talk about their thinking and their beliefs. However, it has to be debunked right away. It has to be fact-checked. It has to be stripped down and deconstructed. Unless we do that, you know, we're fucking around with fairy tales. And what, dear listeners, is the greatest fairy tale on our planet? Christianity. And its concretized version, meaning they believe that this Jesus guy actually existed, and they believe that the God who is supposedly his father actually exists. That's the greatest lie that's been perpetrated on Western civilization. I've said this 1,000 times before, and I'm going to continue to say it. People that believe in the literality of it, the literal translation, the concretized beliefs that these things actually existed, that's the problem. The problem is they believe that. So that makes them, in my opinion, when they get on the radical evangelical end of it, very susceptible to conspiracy theory and buying into it as belief. Pretty cool. This morning on CNN, I saw there was a woman on there who had been a Trump supporter, who had been a QAnon, who came to Jesus. She had a come to Jesus meeting. She's also a Christian, which, you know, you find that in a lot of these folks that, you know, this made them susceptible to believe other nonsense, because Christianity and, you know, and the literal acceptance of it is nonsense. However, some of the tenets of it, some of the concepts that are espoused are excellent. However, they're not unique to Christianity. In fact, many of them predate Christianity. So let's not get up on our high horse. And I'm not here to push zeitgeist either, because there was a lot of bullshit in those videos. So, Cyrus Vance Jr. is going to go after Bannon, possibly. I hope he does, because Bannon needs to go to jail. He needs to be exposed for who he is. And you know what? Something needs to happen to Dinesh D'Souza also. Now, he got pardoned by Trump, and he needs to go away. You know, a lot of these people he pardoned, like Roger Stone and that other piece of shit Manafort, those guys, they need to get convicted on other things that are not federal, and they need to go away and stay away. And if not, the media needs to keep them down. Now, they'll go on OAN, and they'll go on, what's that other piece of shit? Oh, Newsmax. They'll go on those. I think there was another one, I forget, was Neonettle. That was another piece of shit that a bunch of us got kicked out of Facebook because it was just out and out bullshit. That stuff needs to go away, and it doesn't need to be in a large public exposure. Here's the other thing. I love it when these assholes start talking about freedom of speech in regard to social media platforms. Social media platforms are privately owned. They are companies, and they can kick on or off whomever they wish. So don't give me this free speech crap. Start your own goddamn network. And spew. And now what's happened to Parler, man? Parler's gotten dumped by a lot of media, so they're not easy to get to anymore. I tried to get on Parler, but I didn't want to put my real phone number in there, and so they wouldn't let me on, which is probably good, because I'll just go up there and troll motherfuckers. Okay, so that's one. Here's another one. Maisie Williams is talking about gender fluidity. I could give a fuck. Lars Sullivan left the WWE. Now, I watched the Royal Rumble. I thought it was fucking great. All the matches I thought were great. I really enjoyed the women's Royal Rumble. Of course, I enjoy anything that women do just about. And the men's Royal Rumble was really cool. I mean, Edge won. He was number one. He started number one and finished as number one. He was the winner. Threw Randy Orton out of the ring in a very quick move right at the end, when they were the last two standing. The Rutgers researcher who created the first COVID saliva test is dead at 51 years old. Uh-oh. How'd he die? He unexpectedly died. Interesting. Okay. As is frequent, we don't know causes of death. The media doesn't tell us. Okay. So the Senate guys, Schumer and the turd doll, McConnell, have come to an agreement on organizing resolution for the Senate. Okay. Let's see what Okay. John Krasinski shares kiss with Pete Davidson, gets arrested. Oh, okay. Okay. 10 companies that will benefit from global warming. Well, we know fossil fuels, sir, does. Let's see what they are. Now, I've been looking into nuclear because it came up that, you know, nuclear is cleaner, actually, than fossil fuels. I don't disagree with that. That's actually true. It is. However, we have the waste disposal problem, and that's what scares the fuck out of people. And then we also have in the fission reactors, they have all these pipes used for cooling the water, and those leak, and they leak radioactive compounds, and those can get into the water table and into the soil and even sometimes in the air. And so that's a real concern because this stuff is worse than toxic. It's worse than toxic. So, 5 companies that will benefit from global warming. Okay, let's see if it names them. Okay, they go on with the report. It's Bloomberg New Energy Finance and the Frankfurt School. Okay, now where are the companies? So, I got to read through a bunch of shit to get to the companies. Okay, so we know that Energy Partners are one of them. Okay, here's number 10, NV5 Global. Okay, it's a relatively unknown stock, but it has a technology that resolves a key problem caused by global warming. It struck deals with California to provide underground power line technology, reducing the risk of damages to infrastructure collapse during wildfires. Okay, well, that doesn't get rid of the wildfires. Okay, Sun Power Corporation benefits from global warming because it sells crystalline silicon photovoltaic cells and power panels, solar power panels on a all-on-back solar cell invented by Stanford. So at the end of the third quarter, they got some big stuff. Brookfield Renewable Partners. Now, these are guys that are not doing global warming necessarily, although the industrialization manufacturing process does contribute to global warming because it uses fossil fuel for energy to get there. So I was just thinking with all this shit with nuclear. Now, I looked into thorium, and there's a lot of pluses and minuses on thorium. A lot of the minuses have been concocted by the fission reactor people in response to it, because if it doesn't have... Now, the problem is that thorium degrades to U-232, which then goes to U-233, and those are highly radioactive compounds that can also be used in a lifter reactor. Okay, that's a molten salt reactor. It's not water, to generate even more power. But then what do we do with the degraded uranium? Okay, that's a big thing. Now, the thing about thorium reactors, if they were probable, if they were feasible, there could be smaller reactors all over the place. Now, we could use those reactors to make the energy to do our renewables from. So in other words, we wouldn't have this carbon debt for the renewables. It makes a lot of sense on a green level. Because the problems are, what do we do about the negatives? How long does it take to build one? See, that's the problem with building more fission reactors. It takes years to build them and deploy them. By the time we get enough deployed and built, we'll probably be out of business. And I mean life on Earth. So here's number 7, Plug Power. Okay, they sell hydrogen fuel cell systems that replace conventional batteries in electric cars. Interesting. Okay, stock went way up. Might be a good one to buy if it comes down. Canadian Solar sells solar PV modules and operates major solar projects. It's delivered 52 gigawatts of solar modules to customers in 150 countries. And at the end of 2020, in January, City, okay, here's another, there's a winner, huh, City? Okay, so they're up there. And that gives us the bottom six. Let's see if we can get the rest of this view This is what I hate about these. You know, they pepper you with more shit. Okay, Solar Edge Technologies. Okay, that's number five. They have power optimizers, solar inverters, and monitoring system for photovoltaic arrays. Okay. Okay, and then we've got, here we go again. Somebody going to try to sell me solar. I don't know. I already got it. And boy, what a debacle that is. Okay. So anyway, that's enough of that. Okay, so those are the fuckers that are going to benefit. Great. I'm not in. I might want to buy the stocks, however. Haha. Okay. Okay, so another one. Fraudster raised money pitching Giuliani as the firm's face. Oh, boy, Giuliani, man. Oh, man. He's knee-deep in his own shit, isn't he? Okay. Okay, Governor of Texas. Ah, number one in wind power. Okay. Tesla Giga showboats over fossil fuels. Okay. Huh. So this governor in Texas, he needs to go away. Texas needs to go away as a red state. Maybe they should secede. Maybe they should become their own country because, you know what, there's some wonderful, there's, I think, probably millions of wonderful people in Texas. However, there's millions of motherfuckers that need to fucking just roll over, go to sleep for good. Governor Greg Abbott wants to fight Biden's clean energy plan despite being the number one state in the United States for wind power. You see the hypocrisy of the Republican Party when it comes to everything? I'm not even going into that. I mean, this guy is an asshole. Jeff Bezos is stepping down. Well, what does that mean? He's not going to be CEO anymore. What's he going to be, chairman of the board? Okay. What's he going to do? Who's going to run the company? Executive chair. Okay, so he's going to be executive chair, whatever the fuck that means. You know what? Until Bezos makes an employee-owned or a democratically based company, meaning that one worker, one vote, and the say-so of the company, it ain't going anywhere. Just like stockholders. Any amount of stock, one vote. Workers, one vote. Management, one vote. That's how we change the face of these companies that, you know, want to be on the stock exchange and be public in that respect. They're not public. They're not democratic. You see, once again, I'm going to harp my shit on this. We don't have democracy because democracy rarely exists in the workplace, period. Okay, so he steps down. Company's worth about $1.7 trillion. Wow. Wow. I wonder how much of that is actual liquidity. Anyway. Okay, he's not leaving, says Brian Olasovsky, CFO at Amazon, told investors. Oh, fuck you. Fuck Amazon. Now, my kid works for Amazon. I love my kid. He's moving up in the company. I wish him every success in the world. But that company is, you know, on a scale of 10, it's a 4. And that's because it's not a democracy. Okay. Okay, so out of that one, world's largest iceberg shatters into a dozen pieces. Does anybody give a fuck about that? Oh, it's a lot. Some of it, there's lots of us that do, but the guy on the street, the motherfucker who used to support Trump, he doesn't give a fuck. Okay, so Walking Dead's going to get a 10th season. So geologists produce new timeline of Earth's Paleozoic climate changes. The record shows ancient temperature variations coinciding with shifts in the planet's biodiversity. Ah, this is a good one. I'm not going to dig too far into this. This is a little bit more complicated for most. The temperature of the planet linked with the diversity of life that it can support. It is. MIT geologists have now reconstructed a timeline of the Earth's temperature during the early Paleozoic era, between 510 and 440 million years ago, a pivotal period when animals became abundant in a previously microbe-dominated world. Okay, this is very important. I'm not going into it any further. It's very important, though. You should read it. Why keeping one mature street tree is far better for humans than nature planting lots. Well, yeah, let's not cut down any fucking trees if we can help it. Let's plant more mature trees. Let's develop mature trees, and let's plant those. That's right. I'm down. You know, sequestering the carbon back into the soil is a big deal. But what are we going to do about the fucking methane? So I was listening to Josh Fox today on that YouTube video that I was talking about, and he brought up a big point that I've been on for a long time. 70 times greater greenhouse effect from methane than carbon dioxide. And methane, because of fracking, methane is just fucking pumping in the atmosphere. And because that's pumping in the atmosphere, the temperatures in the Arctic zones and the Antarctic zones are going up. And what happens? That means methane gets released from the permafrost, especially up north. Fucked up. Methane's what's going to kill us. Now, you know, there's several methane-dominated planets in our solar system. There ain't nothing alive there, man. There ain't nothing alive. Not even methanobacter. So, come on, motherfuckers. Let's wake up. Fuck fracking. Fuck you cocksuckers in fossil fuel industry are afraid of losing your jobs. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your lifestyle. You're going to lose everything. And we can retrain you to work in other industries that are a lot more beneficial and renewable and sustainable and pay you more money. But some of you guys just don't want to do it. You're so stuck. Well, fuck you. Now, you can come to the next big fucking insurrection and get shot. I know. I'm fucking off today. I am pissed. Why am I pissed? Why am I pissed? I'm going to tell you why I'm pissed. I'm pissed because since the late 60s, we've known about this shit that's fucking starting to kill us today. Do you realize that 7 million people a year die from the effects of environmental air pollution? 7 million. That kind of makes the goddamn pandemic pale, doesn't it? For now. And the other effect of global warming, which Fox brought out, man, this is really cool, Josh Fox, is that there's a form of encephalitis, which is mosquito-borne, which would kill 70% of the people it infects. There you go. There's your next fucking pandemic. Well, you wipe out 70% of the world's population. Well, you know, the resources might go a little further. Fuck that. Malthus was wrong, is what Bucky Fuller said. Okay. Ooh, Amazon and Alphabet Salesforce are all investing in a $28 billion company that crunches big data. Okay, that's important, but I don't give a fuck. Why don't I give a fuck? Because this shit is out of control, and we need it. The industry is just seen as trying to kill everybody inside the greenwashing of big oil. That's right, there's another topic. Big oil is trying to greenwash. The big one that Fox brought up today was that fucking green oil, okay? The green oil companies down in the Gulf are saying, well, we fund the schools. If you put us out of business, the schools will lose their funding. No, they won't. They'll get funding from the public when we reemploy everybody and take the tax dollars that we need to refund education. And it appears as though education needs to undergo a radical upgrade, especially public education. Because all this drive to get private education, which doesn't work, privatizing education, for the most part, does not work. The proof is in the pudding on the charter schools in most states. Fuck charter schools. Fuck the vouchers. Fuck Betsy DeVos. She should be taken out on one of her yachts and left adrift out in the middle of the fucking Atlantic or the Pacific. Stimulus check. Okay. Well, here we go. I think that's about the end of the GameStop stock crumbled, as we knew it would, because of the great farce that they did. Okay. Well, there's a lot of great stuff on here. Okay, herd immunity is not going to be easy to reach. Of course not. When you got, 54 million doses and 32 have been administered? Well, that's better than fucking 31. However, we need like 200-300 million. We need like 600 million doses with 300 million administered as soon as possible, period. So that's my take on everything today. You know, now I'm going to take us out with a little bit more music. I'm going to take us out with some more Lamb of God, okay, with a song called Now You've Got Something to Die For. And I love that. Here we go. Now You've Got Something to Die For. Enjoy, folks. I'm going to take you out. 3 minutes and 40 seconds. That's it for February 3rd, 2021, Era Vulgaris, light, an extension in hell.